In your bulletin today is sermon notes, and there's three blank lines, and I always like to, I don't know, maybe it's because of my elementary education, that I like people to fill in the blanks. Actually, in school, I always like multiple choice, but anyway, if you listen, you'll be able to figure out what goes into different blanks. But I want to share with you today a message that I believe God has placed on my heart. And it's about great mercy. We have lived our life trying and working and believing God for His grace and His mercy. And I stand here this morning only because of God's grace and God's mercy. And many of you that are out here today, it's because of God's grace and God's mercy that you're here today. Grace gives you what you do not deserve. Mercy holds back what you do deserve. We need both. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. We need blessing. And all those things we can't earn. Only God can give it to us. Mercy is different. It holds back what we do deserve. It holds back that judgment. It holds back that condemnation. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 10 and 11, and I read from the New International Version, it's, "Consider now," and this is God talking to David as he's going to talk to his son Solomon, and said, "Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico or porch of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of the atonement, or the mercy seat, and some would say also the Ark of the Covenant. And so David is telling Solomon, and he's saying this, "I want you to build a house for the Lord. Here is the perfect blueprint that I'm giving you. You won't hear the sound of a hammer, and you won't hear the sound of any tools, but it's going to be so perfect. The blueprint that I give you, there is a pattern for the porch. There's a pattern for the chambers. There's a pattern for the vestibule. And there's a place for the mercy seat." Another name for the mercy seat is the Ark of the Covenant. It was that box. And on the top part of the box was the mercy seat. And inside that box was Aaron's rod. That was a dead stick. But when it got in the box and it was under the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant, that stick all of a sudden brought back supernatural life. And it started to bud again because it got into the presence of God. It got into the presence of God's mercy. Then the pot of manna that would turn to worms every 24 hours, they had put it in a jar in the box under the mercy seat. That had been corrupted and would become corrupted every 24 hours, all of a sudden stayed alive. And then there were the broken Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were in that box. But someone all of a sudden lifted the mercy seat accidentally. And the Bible says 7,000 people died because it was not covering the law. Just happened like that. If we want to see people restored, we must have mercy. If we want to see God's provision, if we want to see the manna, we need mercy. To see the law turn into something of life, we need mercy. And so I want to share a few thoughts in Mark chapter 5. Matter of fact, I want to do this. I need 9 people to come right up here. There's 1, 2. Ladies can come too, you know. Line up here, 9 people. Pastor Chuki, you count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many you got now? 8, need one more. Go ahead, E. This is my grandson. Amen. Okay, in Mark chapter 5, it's the Beatitudes. So under verse 3, E, is blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay? Number verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Desiree, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Verse 6, Larry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I'm going to skip you, okay? We're going to go to verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11, it says, blessed are those when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of him. Hallelujah. Now, look at here. Verse 7. You're right in the middle. 4 on this side, 4 on this side. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be showed mercy. See, none of these other Beatitudes can work without mercy. You can't have just poor in spirit. You can't have the different things without God's mercy. Give these guys a hand. Huh? Amen. Thank you, Mercy. See, we need to have mercy in our walk with God. And in order for us to do the things, Jesus takes 4 blessings first, mercy in the middle, and then 4 blessings afterwards. So in fill in the blanks, the first one, God puts mercy where? Right in the middle. There, he filled it right in. Look at that. God is saying, whatever you're speaking, whoever God brings into your life, the broken, the mourning, those people going through a hard time, make sure we put everything we're doing, that we put God's mercy right in the middle of what we're doing. Out of the 9 blessings, the other 8 will not work if there is not mercy in the middle. As it said in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Then in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and what does God require of you? Or what does he want from you? But to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Now watch this. To do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. It's in the middle. The Lord is saying, if you want to please me, if you want to live right, you want to live clean, if you want to obey the word, you don't get proud about it. Do not become arrogant, or should I say self-righteous. Walk humbly. See, mercy holds back what we deserve. God gives us that balance right in the middle. It says, love mercy. One of the greatest miracles in the New Testament was at the Pool of Bethesda. A man, 38 years old, was paralyzed. And it's an interesting place. Actually, Holly and I were there, and she sang. I forgot the song you sang, but it just echoed through the place. And Honest Days. That's why I couldn't remember it. I can't pronounce it. Anyway, in there, At the Pool of Bethesda, there's five porches, which represents the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These fivefold ministries cannot have any kind of impact to touch anybody that's impotent or crippled or a broken person until someone picked him up and put him in the water. You could have any one of those five ministry gifts and it would not happen and nothing would work unless he was put in the water. The pool was called Bethesda, which means house of mercy. All we will produce is broken people who cannot get over the breaking that they've had through life until we get them into the mercy of God. And then God brings that healing. God has put them in the house of mercy. It's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to look down. The temple that Solomon was building had a room for treasures, had an inner chamber, had porches and vestibules. But David said, when you build that temple, make sure you have room for mercy, for the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. Mercy holds back what people deserve. God said, make it out of pure gold. Where did the blood go? It was sprinkled on the top of the mercy seat. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover over our ministry, and all of us need God's mercy and covered by his blood. And fill in the blanks, the next one. Why did David get mercy? Why did David get mercy? I believe David had mercy on one of Saul's living relatives, whose name was Say it aloud so everybody can hear it. There you go. Mephibosheth. I've never been able to say that. But he was a crippled boy. How about that? Who couldn't help himself. Raj, I'm going to need you to preach for me one of these days. Judgment says that David was to kill all the lineage of the previous king. That's how it worked. All of the relatives, all that were related to Saul, he was to kill. He was to kill every seed. But that last seed, David, you need to kill him. You need to kill that crippled boy, that last seed. And the Bible says that David did something different. He brought him into the palace. And he placed him and put him at the table and took care of him. I believe the reason that judgment didn't hit David and wipe him out because he messed up with Bathsheba. Had her husband killed, attempted to cover up the sin. But the reason God gave him mercy, see, mercy is holding back what we really deserve, because he showed mercy to a little crippled boy. God saw that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The mercy seat had on one end a cherubim, angel. God said, put one cherubim, one angel, over guard of the mercy seat. Then there was another cherubim, another angel, on the other side. God told Moses, in creating the cherubims, something special. And so I'm going to ask one of my grandson, Jane, come up here for a moment, okay? Pick on my relatives today. So in between here is the mercy seat. You're in one of the cherubims, okay? So I want you to hold your wings up like that. I'm the other angel, okay? That's pretty nice, isn't it? The Bible says that the angels' wings touched each other, but their heads were down. They were looking at the mercy seat. They didn't look at each other. You know why? Because sometimes we don't always, amen. Sometimes we don't always see eye to eye. But through the mercy seat, we can see the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. What I'm saying, it's important. The Bible says that their wings touched, but they didn't look eye to eye. What it's saying is, I don't have to see eye to eye with you to get into agreement with everything. But by the grace of God and His mercy, we can. If I will see you through the blood of Jesus Christ, if I can see you through the mercy seat of God, we can see each other through that blood of Jesus Christ, through the mercy seat. Yet we do touch. God is saying, I'll dwell above the mercy seat and the cherubim wings. Whenever people get together, the Bible says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Not looking eye to eye in everything, but looking through the mercy of God. God is saying, I'll dwell in the house of worship. I'll dwell in the family. I'll dwell in the presence. You might not see eye to eye in everything, but I see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring unity. Bring healing. And the glory of the Lord shall be here. We do not need to agree on everything. But let's see each other through the mercy of God. See, that's what America needs. That's what the world needs. That's what the church needs. Some of you don't understand what marriage is all about. I just gave it to you. In marriage, you don't always see eye to eye. But through the mercy seat of God, you can bring unity together. You're not always going to see eye to eye. What a family has to do is to see each other through the mercy of God. You hurt me, but I love you. You disappoint me, but I forgive you. You broke my heart, but I still love you. Your God is my God. No, we're not perfect. God gave us mercy. His glory will fall on all of our imperfections. And yet make something beautiful out of it. It is in your house, in your family, in your children. Michelangelo, and Holly and I saw his great painting in the Sistine Chapel. But the only Bible he had to read was the Latin interpretation. And when it talked about Moses on the mountain and the glory of God was coming on him, the Bible said he had to cover his face. And in the Latin interpretation, they misunderstood the word glory. Instead of glory being on Moses, it was interpreted to say that Moses had horns. Two horns coming out of his head. And you know what that normally represents. If you were to see many of Michelangelo's paintings of Moses, you'll see that he has horns. So, what am I saying? Because of misinterpretation, all the classic paintings have Moses with those horns. Here's my point. Sometimes we hear something and you put it through your Latin interpretation. You hear something about somebody and you're all of a sudden you're putting horns on them. Somebody said something about them, and maybe you've heard it second and third hand. And you suddenly paint horns on that person, and now they're the devil. It takes a lot to take the horns off of a person once they've been put on. I'm preaching to you that Moses didn't have horns. Amen? Hallelujah. When one interpretation says it had horns, God is saying, it is mercy. My prayer is, touch my lips, Lord, with the coal from the altars of heaven, so that the presence of the living God can move amongst us. And fill in the blanks, the last one, there's a place of mercy for everyone. There is a place for mercy for everyone. Everyone who has messed up, there's a place. God can hold back. like the Egyptian army with Pharaoh. Moses is thinking, I got out. We finally got out. But something, the past, is chasing us. The chariots, they're trying to come back and get us and get you. And sometimes our past is trying to get us. Sometimes some of our shame is trying to get us. The past, the mess ups, keep trying to come. Pharaoh's army is coming after Moses to enslave them again. And God says to Moses, he's going through the Red Sea. He says, turn around and look. And as Moses turned around and looked, the Red Sea was swallowing up Pharaoh's army. Hallelujah. See, God can hold back what we deserve. That's mercy, holding back what you deserve. The blood of Jesus Christ has swallowed up our past. And we move on. So I ask that you pray. Believe God. I believe He has some great things in store. Please stand with me as we close in prayer. We're going to pray, and Judy's going to lead out with the worship, and you're my healer. Amen. God's a healing God. And if you want to come to the altar and pray, feel free to do that. If you have to go, feel free.